When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey guys, it's Nick. Before we get going today, I wanted to give you a few discount codes for the products we love and our show sponsors. So don't just turn this one off. If you're listening to this podcast, we at Hardwick Life want to reward you for your loyalty. So take 25% off of your order by using the code HardwickFF25, because after this long, we consider you friends and family. That's HardwickFF25 at Hardwick.life. It's like Hardwick.com, but that one was taken by a shirt company. So Hardwick.life is where you can find it. For 20% off at BubsNaturals.com, use the code Hardwick20. That's Hardwick20 at BubsNaturals.com. And for 10% off at Julian Bakery, use the code Nick Hardwick. That's me at JulianBakery.com. Again, Nick Hardwick at JulianBakery.com. Now, if you want to hear what I take daily and get some insight as to what you should take, maybe stay tuned. If not, skip ahead about a minute and we will be into the show. Thank you all. All right. So you want to know what you should buy? I take 6 of our Hardwick Life products every day. I originally started that company out of kind of selfish needs. I wanted to get access to the absolute highest grade products in the world. Our supplements are pharmaceutical grade, all of them. They've got unique delivery mechanisms. So you aren't just getting expensive urine. You're actually absorbing the products at a higher rate than cheaper store-bought supplements. I take Brain, Joint, Fuel, Phyto, Pump, and Neuro. Now, that may be a little extreme for you, but those are my jams. Now, I've done a lot of damage to my body. I need all of them. The Brain and Joint, they're kind of self-explanatory, right? Fuel is one of the only whey protein powders that I can take that doesn't upset my tummy. And we hear the same thing quite frequently from folks that don't process dairy all that well. That's because it's made from New Zealand grass-fed whey. New Zealand has the highest dairy standards in the world. There's a noticeable difference, and the flavor, it's pretty damn incredible. For a peri-workout drink, which peri-workout, you'll hear that term, it means around your workout, or to add protein midday, I put 2 scoops of Fuel with Pump, which has 3 grams of creatine per serving, 400 milligrams of ATP, which is the body's energy currency, and 95 milligrams of caffeine to get you all fired up. All of those, they allow you to do more work in the gym, getting better results. More work equals better results. Who would have thought? Seriously, you can work harder and have a lower rate of perceived exertion. And I like to add in Phyto, which has all of the necessary nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, along with this patented formula called TrueBrock, which contains glucoraphanin, which researchers at MIT are calling the fountain of youth. And lastly, I take Neuro about an hour before bed. Dr. Andrew Huberman, a Stanford neuroscientist, host of the Huberman Lab podcast and recent guest with Joe Rogan, I'm sure some of you listen to that guy, he's pretty awesome, recommended in our 3rd episode ever, we got him before he blew up, magnesium L-threonate, as it's the only form of magnesium to cross the blood-brain barrier. And it increases levels of brain magnesium, and that leads to better cognition and a more robust memory. That's important. It also has a slight sedative effect to help you get to sleep. All right, I'm not going to bore you with more details. Get over Hardwick Life and use the code HardwickFF25 for 25% off. Now, you guys that have been following me for a while now know that I've used Bubs Naturals since the company's inception. I don't know. I may be their first ever ambassador. I know there's a lot of bigger names now that are promoting Bubs. The company has blown up and is thriving because many folks like me understand how great their product is. I take two scoops of their collagen protein and one scoop of the MCT oil powder daily with my morning coffee. Try it once, you're going to be hooked. It's unbelievably creamy. The collagen is also really a great way to sneak some protein into your kids' lives too. It's unflavored, so you can add it into pancakes, oatmeal, mac and cheese, or juice, and they're not going to notice a thing. Use the code HARDWICK20 for 20% off. Lastly, before we get to the show, I want to tell you about my friends at Julian Bakery. This company, they've really got their act together. I believe most people could use more protein in their lives. It's got a very positive effect on satiety, brain signaling, and maintaining a healthy body weight. I recommend 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. Please don't listen to Zac Efron's trainer, who on their show falsely ties too much protein to kidney failure and loss of bone density. And certainly don't go to the Game Changers propaganda documentary on Netflix for your science. Neither of these use actual science. There's a lot of kooks out there, folks. We're going to keep fighting the good fight. I love a variety of protein. Obviously, I've told you about our whey protein, Bubs Collagen Protein. And Julian Bakery's specialty, in my opinion, is their egg white protein powder. They come in ridiculous flavors like pumpkin pie, coconut, maple glaze donut. They blend easily. They're a great addition in the middle of the day. Use the code Nick Hardwick for 10% off. That's Nick Hardwick for 10% off. All right, that's enough. Let's get you back to the show. Love y'all. Well, hello, Jamie Hardwick.
And Nicholas, hello to you.
Hey. Good morning. Welcome to the Hardwick Life Podcast. Hope everyone is doing fantastic. How about them Chargers?
Yeah.
How about them Chargers?
What a game.
Yeah, that was fun.
Super.
Good to see the boys playing well. Not sure who had the home game there. It was the Raiders or the Chargers, but it doesn't matter. The Chargers smoked them. It was actually kind of cool because both teams had to deal with crowd noise.
Yeah.
So super fun.
It was always that way in San Diego too.
Especially when we played the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was plenty of games where we had to deal with crowd noise at home and not a big deal. Hey, it's a nice place to come visit. And a lot of people wanted to come party.
Well, and Raider fans are everywhere in California.
Just Raider fans are everywhere.
Yeah. It's not just like a Northern California thing and now like a Vegas thing. It's they are everywhere.
Freaking cockroaches. Cockroaches.
I don't
mind
Raider fans.
No, I'm
kidding. I don't like the Raiders. I love Gruden. I don't love the Raiders.
I love
either. But I do like the fans.
They actually have a lot of coaches that I'm very familiar with.
Yeah.
Gruden, Greg Olson, who was with Purdue, Rich Bisaccia, who was with us at the Chargers, Gus Bradley, who I got to know a little bit when he was with the Chargers up in Los Angeles. So they got a bunch of guys that we've worked with over the years that I love. So and I like the Raiders. I like their fans. They know their role. They're super passionate.
Yeah.
Can't hate on that.
Nope.
Put that in front of your mouth.
That's not in front of my mouth.
That is. You're not looking at the camera. You're looking at me. So you scoot over there.
But I'm not comfortable looking at you. Hold on. We're doing this. We're figuring out this setup.
Calm down, Napoleon. I'm not comfortable looking at you. We watched Napoleon Dynamite.
I don't want to cock my head this way. You know what I mean?
Don't.
Okay.
Turn your chair. Look, okay. See how my chair's turned at an angle?
Back to the Raiders.
And yours
I
is facing the
like,
line of scrimmage?
I don't like Carr. He is not my favorite franchise, like face of a franchise.
I think he doesn't seem super comfortable with who he is.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it seems like he tries real hard to be something maybe that he's not. That's, I guess, what I gather from him. And I don't know if that's true, but it doesn't seem super authentic. And the broadcasters actually talked about it last night was Derek is kind of more carefree than he's been. He's trying on a new personality. And I just thought, that's goofy. How long has he been in the league and he's trying on a new personality
right,
this year?
Be you, dog.
Be you. Let somebody else do what they have to do. Whatever you got to do to perform well. But
and then in stark contrast, Justin Herbert's such a stud.
He's the man.
God, I love him.
He is. He is so cool.
Yeah.
And he does. And that's part of Justin is he seems very comfortable in his own skin.
Right.
He's quirky. He's kind of geeky, but he owns it. And he's a hell of a player.
He's
and
awesome.
He's super smart. He processes really fast. He's wildly accurate. He's got all the things you would want.
Yeah.
So.
And everyone seems to like him. Coaches, teammates.
Everybody.
He's highly likable.
People like people who are comfortable with themselves,
yeah,
regardless of where they fall on the spectrum, like cool spectrum. You know, you could be a geek, you could be cool, but as long as you are yourself and authentic and genuine, I think that's really important. And then he's super coachable. And everybody likes somebody who's coachable. True. And then players like somebody who performs. So it doesn't matter what you're like. If you perform, when it's time to perform, you're our guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that's Herbert. And he's got him. He's really got them going. And I just like what they built. And it's super fun.
It is fun.
Yes.
So go Chargers.
Hey, and we're playoff football too, by the way.
Oh,
second and fourth grade.
I mean, speaking of great football.
Yeah. Well, we got rained out last night. Give us your thoughts on this, because I had to calm your ass down last night. We were at the field ready for Teddy's first round of playoffs yesterday, and there was a lightning storm. And so the game got canceled, but we were inside in the high school gymnasium for a while, riding the storm out. And then they eventually canceled it when the rain started letting up and the clouds seemed like they were blowing by. And I was like, if we just wait 20 more minutes, we're going to be able to play. And sure enough, like on the drive home, which was 5 minutes, it was beautiful. And there was a great rainbow out. And you were super.
If you watched the Monday night game last night, the Charger Raider game, think about John Gruden's face when they said that it's going to be a lightning delay.
A weather delay.
In an indoor stadium.
Indoor.
That was sort of my face yesterday when they said it. I was like, wait, what? And so here's the issue is Nick's the head coach of both boys, the fourth and the second grade team. Mm-hmm. Second was supposed to play last night. Fourth was supposed to play tonight. Well, now they had to reschedule. Both kids play in different fields at the exact same time. So Nick had to choose his favorite son.
That's not true, but that is how Teddy views it. But yes. So Teddy came up to me once we got home, and he was super upset. Mom was super upset because she didn't get to see both. She had a very difficult time putting a filter on herself, and she's like in the middle of the gymnasium in front of the guy who was not in charge of canceling it but was the messenger. So she shot the messenger. She's like, who's the coward who canceled the game? And I'm like, would you quiet down or step outside, please? It's just absurd. Like, get out of here. These decisions are beyond the people in this room. It's about liability and lawsuits, and you can't have kids out on a field when there's lightning within like 12 miles. It's just the rules. And you didn't understand that. And
I understand it. I don't like it.
But you were pissed. Here's the deal. It wouldn't have bothered you if we didn't have a fourth grade game today and we just rescheduled the second 100% grade game. But it affected you personally, yep, because now you're not going to get to watch Hudson play because they're played at two different locations. And so you couldn't restrain your own emotional control. We lost that. And you perhaps insulted somebody.
Perhaps.
So she apologizes. She'd like you to know that.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know you were upset, and I know it stinks, and Teddy's upset that I don't get to coach him. And here's my explanation to Ted is, Teddy, honestly, Hudson's grade level is a little more complicated than yours, and not much, but we have actual plays. I have a playbook, and Teddy's, I draw things up in the backfield, and I say, run left, run right, throw the pass as far down the field to the right side as you can. You know, those kind of things. And Hudson's, we actually call plays. We have a script, you know, we do things, and the other coaches can't really say what they don't know what the plays are. So that's maybe my bad as a coach for not giving them the game plan or letting them call plays. But Teddy was super upset, and I hope he understands. And it's also a team that we've beaten twice and they haven't scored at all. So
yeah. And part of my frustration is I got to watch the second graders. I prefer to watch the fourth.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyways.
Anywho.
I know. I need better self-control.
You do.
I know.
Yeah. On to the topic at hand.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Enough
of that.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. So, I had a thought today because I got a client who's frustrated, and it's a female, that she's lost some weight and is doing really well with her like daily practices, is on track, like meditating, moving more, exercising, concentrating on what type of food she's eating. Yet she got on the scale and was up a little bit of weight. And it's really hard as a coach to see somebody not have success, right? Just like you want your boys to have success, it's hard to see when they don't, when there's like a little setback or whatever. Females are so much, for me, more difficult than males. because your bodies do so many different things and are very finicky. And depending on the time of the month and where you're at in your cycle and all these things, like you can hold more water, you could be producing more. I don't know all the things that happen in a female body, but it's just very tricky, right? It's very tricky. And maybe you could talk us through some, because you've, I mean, in and out, right? Like been on weight loss kicks before.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think you're on one now, or I don't know what you're doing now, but you know, it's like, it seems to me that a lot of women get going, have success, and then hit a wall. And it's not that you give up, but it's that your body like has a very natural resistance to getting lower and leaner and all of that. Can you help me out here?
Well, I think there's a difference in females between needing to lose weight, right? Like you are obese and you need to lose, you know, 40 to 100 pounds
yes.
of weight.
And that's health, males too.
For health reasons.
And males too, yep.
I think some of the people you're dealing with are that, is that vanity weight where it's the 5 to 10 pounds of extra weight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a necessity.
It's not a health concern. It's right. not a longevity concern.
And it's not a, it's not a pressing issue. It's not yes. looking in the mirror, hating what you see. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, pinching a little extra and being like, man, this would be nice. And I mean, we always talk about it, but at some point it becomes more of a want than a need.
Yes.
And so I think maybe for you dealing with female clients, it's a little trickier because you're dealing with their emotions. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with cycles, which you don't have any idea about.
Right.
Right. And like the weight gain and all of that.
It does. And I know it fluctuates and I know it's very tricky.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But I think the principles are exactly the same for males and females. If you're not
for
seeing
sure.
results, it's because you're not in a caloric deficit,
right?
It's like, that's basic.
That's it.
But
that's math.
But I will get, let me give you my caveat. But I think when you are very close to what your goal weight or your set point or your, you know, your healthy weight is,
yes.
if you are not consciously waking up every single day, working towards it, day in, day out, having no sleep.
Working
ups,
towards your caloric deficit.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And staying in that deficit, you know, it's not easy to lose the last 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and here's, I think the hard thing with females is you can create a caloric deficit and then through certain times of the month, your metabolism either slows up or speeds down.
Yeah.
Slows down or speeds up. I said that backwards. So it either slows down or speeds up. So certain times of the month, you're going to see pretty excellent progress and you're going to feel more motivated to work out and your body's going to pull from certain energy systems. And then here's where the caloric deficit thing, like calories in, calories out matters most.
Right.
Right. Just like you said, calories in, calories out matters most when it comes to weight loss. Male, female, dogs, cows, doesn't matter. But females are a little trickier because hormonally, I think, and this is out of my pay grade, this is just a theory of mine, is that hormonally you guys fluctuate from week to week throughout the month on how fast your engine is revving. And so what, how your body is processing those calories that you're giving it. So some weeks or some days, like certain weeks, some of those days you could be processing 2,500 calories, like no problem. And then you're taking in 2,500 calories the next week. Well, all of a sudden your body's only, it's geared down because of the month and it's trying to hold on to calories because of the cycles and everything like that. And so now it's going 2,000 calories. So now you're in a, if you're eating the standard 2,500 calories, now you're at a caloric surplus of 500 calories, say. That's just my theory. Right. And I don't know if that's true
or
not.
I don't think it varies that much.
Probably not that much.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's a,
but you're right. I do think being concerted with where your caloric intake is probably when you want to lose weight.
Yeah.
When you want to lose weight. That's the most important thing.
I think the other thing too with you working with female clients is, okay, for the most part, females are smaller than males.
Yes.
Right? Their basal metabolic rate is lower than that of a male.
Naturally, yes.
Naturally smaller.
You're smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Less fat, less
yeah.
muscle.
The bigger you are, the more calories you burn. The smaller you are, the less calories you burn.
So just less cells in general,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah.
Smaller.
Less muscle, less size, less your heart has to work.
So as you are calculating, you know, what your kind of basal metabolic mm-hmm. is versus your food intake, we're dealing with smaller margins too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might
that's
be
right.
a 200 calorie little deficit that we're trying to create. on a daily basis versus some of your bigger clients that are males weighing over 300 pounds, they're able to create a 1,000 calorie deficit really, really easily.
Even like on the Lose Like Alignment program, some of the men that come in on our biggest day, you're still at a 1,000 calorie deficit.
Right.
On our biggest eating day, yes. At like 2,500 calories.
And so most,
it's a big eating day.
Right.
Females, you're at a, on average, you may be at 250 or 500 calories.
Female,
deficit.
You know, just at rest, 150 pound, you know, regular female, you're probably burning around 1,500 calories. Then, of course, you add on any sort of exercise, movement, you know, obviously yeah. your muscle mass and all of that calculates into it. But let's just, for simplicity's sake, 1,500. That's not very much food. You
it's
know,
not.
So if you're sedentary, you're sitting most of the day, to create a caloric deficit when your BMR is 1,500, I mean, you're really...
It's hard.
It's fine tuning.
It's yeah. Yes, it does. Is. Women are way more finicky than men.
Yes.
And you're right. It's because of the body size.
Yeah.
The starting point.
Totally.
And so if you're a small male, say you're a 150 pound male and you're trying to get to 135, it's kind of the same thing,
yeah.
right? The margins are tiny.
Tiny.
So you have to be very diligent with tracking where you're at. So that kind of brings us to the next thing is, what are you doing it for? And I don't mean like, what's your why? You know, because we do the why. Like, you know, think of your deep why. Why am I doing this? Why do I need to lose the weight? And I do that for the big weight loss clients. Like, why do you want to do this?
Right.
You know, probably because you want to be around your kids. Probably because you want to spend more time with your wife. Probably because there's activities that you can't do at your size that you would love to do. You know, for me, it was, I'd love to go on hikes with you guys. I'd love to go on bike rides with you guys. I'd love to be more active. I want to live longer so I can experience my grandkids and maybe our great grandkids. And also, I want to get smaller so I can exercise more so I can take care of my brain. Right? So those are like the deep, deep whys. And so we talk about those, but with females that are like you, right? You're 140, 145 pounds. Where are you going to go from here? You know what, like, are you going to step onto a stage? Like what's the real why? Cause it's not health. Cause you're damn healthy.
Right.
Right. And you can do everything you want to do.
Yep.
So sometimes you have to take a step back and go, why am I losing weight? So I can look like somebody on Instagram. Does my husband not find me attractive? Do I not find myself attractive? Do I not fit into clothes that I want to fit into? Like, what's the real reason underlying this? Because I look at you and I'm like, she's a beautiful woman. And I say that about a lot of women, not like in a sexual way at all, but like, that's a beautiful mom. You know, wow, she's graceful. She's carry herself well. She's out playing tennis. She's golfing. She gets to... Like she's active. She gets to do everything she wants to do. That's a beautiful woman. But I think a lot of you guys are in your own heads and going, but I don't look like that girl on IG. Like, well, no shit.
Yeah.
No shit. You don't.
Right.
That's her job. That's her job.
Right.
Right. So I think there's a difference between being like, your job is being a mom. And some women's job is being a mom and having a job, like two jobs. And the physique athlete, that is their job. That's their sole source of income. That's what they do 40 hours a week, is dial in their nutrition, dial in their exercise, post on Instagram or wherever they're posting, right? It's like, that's their job. So take a step back and go, maybe what can't I do that I'd want to do at my weight? If it's nothing, then you're fine. Like, is my health compromised now because I'm at this weight? No? Okay, cool. What else is there? You know, it's like, is it just for looks? Is it just for vanity? Well, maybe it's time to reassess. And I think we get in this world because, like, social media, we've just in this world, and I'm not blaming social media for anything or everything, but like, we compare ourselves to other people. You don't know what they've got going in their life or don't have going in their life, right? Like, I stay fit. I'm partially retired. It's way easier for me than it is for everybody else to stay this fit. It's way easier for you to stay this fit than it is for everybody else. And I think we've convoluted performance and health with aesthetics. And I think like we assume that all the athletes now are ripped. They're not. Like they're performing well, but if they take off their shirt, look at Tom Brady when he takes off his shirt. It's very unimpressive. Look at a lot of athletes when they got great arms, but a lot of them, if they're not wide receivers or defensive backs or 7 foot tall basketball players, they're not put together all that well, but they're performing well and they can do everything that they want to do in life. Mm-hmm. And they're achieving a lot.
Yeah. So I would say like taking it back to this female client that we're talking about. One thing is, you know, having non-scale victories. Sometimes getting rid of that scale is just the greatest thing you can do, because you're right. There are daily, weekly, monthly fluctuations that happen in a female body. I think more so than in a male body. So if you can just focus on your daily habits, making good choices, moving your body more, getting great rest, drinking your water, like all of the tangibles that we can talk mm-hmm. about, and you put the scale aside for a month or 2 months or 6 months or even a year, it's amazing how much that number controls your feelings about yourself on a daily basis.
And it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
It should. But I love that. Non-scale victories.
Yes. Because we do. We give so much, what's the word?
We like, put so much importance on the stupid number on the scale, but it in no way tells you how you're performing or doing what you want to do. And for me, it's like, be grateful for who you are, for what you have, like the ability to move, the ability to be with your family, the ability to, you know, and what you can do. Not what anybody else can do, what you can do relative to yourself.
And it's amazing. I mean, you talk to women everywhere. So another analogy would be when couples are trying to conceive, you know, for those first few months, it's like you're tracking everything meticulously. You're like really putting in effort and you're so stressed out. You're like, this is our time. Let's do it, you know, and you're not getting pregnant. And the minute you put it aside and you're like, you know what, let's stop thinking about it for a couple months. It's incredible how many couples become pregnant.
Yes.
And so I think the same can be said about weight loss. And this is not for people, like I said, that are obese that need to medically lose weight. This is for the vanity 5 to 20 pounds that you just mm-hmm. want to lose. If you just put more emphasis into the daily habits and, like I said, the non-scale stuff, I think the scale will move. The more you get fixated on that number and the more you stress yourself and the more it consumes every part of your life, it becomes challenging.
Yeah. And two, there's a thing in psychology called the ironic rebound, right? So if I'm withholding, no, I can't have that. No, I can't have that. A lot of times you're drawn even further to what you were trying to stay away from because you were trying to see that scale, see a better number. And to your point, if everything's in alignment, right? If my sleep's good, if I'm taking care of myself from a holistic standpoint, if I'm giving myself space, if I'm going outside, if I'm exercising, if I'm moving well, if I'm eating better food and making better choices and that kind of thing, naturally, my body's going to take care of itself and be where it should be. Mm-hmm. So instead of maybe you directing your body and really trying to run through a wall to get to this weight, maybe your body's telling you something. Maybe your body's saying, this is a good place for me and I'm comfortable here.
Yeah.
So maybe you can back down a little bit and just perform and continue to focus on the practices that are making you feel whole as a human, like grateful to be alive and fulfilled and joyful.
Yeah. And I would say another aspect of that is just be leery of this like arrival syndrome. Like I've been guilty of this in the past too. When I am 120 pounds, I will be happy. But will you? Like there's not an imaginary number that aligns with happiness, but it's a really easy thing, I think. And I think females fall into this trap all the time where it's when this happens, then I'll be able to be happy.
I think that's with humans in general.
Yeah.
I think that's male, female, but you're probably right with females. It's like, man, when I weigh 136 pounds, everything's going to be better. It's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Your number's going to be lower, but have you done everything necessary to make yourself a happy person?
Right.
Is your perspective changing as you're doing this? And maybe it's part of the process to get there to achieving your goals that's going to ultimately bring you fulfillment.
Yes.
And happiness. Maybe that's part of it. Like we would always say, winning the Super Bowl, it's not really the trophy that matters. It's who you become, who you have to become to win the trophy. That's the real important part. But to your point, it's, whoa, when I get to 120, oh, things are going to change. No, you're just going to be a miserable 120-pound female who probably hadn't eaten enough. You know what I mean? It's like, you get down that low. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? And especially, I just, like, you're married. You have two kids. You're closing in on 40 years old. It's like, who cares? Don't go stressing over, you know, what's my glute gains looking like? Is it that important that you're, I can't tell the fucking difference, you know? Like when we got married, you got up to 160. I loved you then. You got down to 130 before. It's like, I love you then. I don't give a shit what your weight is. And from 130 to 160. So I'd urge you females out there who are really trying to hammer out those extra 10 pounds for bikini season or whatever it is. Just, your husband loves you. I don't care what you look like. And love's love. If I don't love you because of how you look, if you're within a certain, like, now I think if you go up to, say, two something, then something in you's probably unhappy that's maybe causing you to, driving you to the kitchen and driving you to overeat, or like something's changing in you. So I would, as a husband, be concerned that, like, we're not doing enough in the house to bring you joy, that you're seeking it through food. Mm-hmm. And maybe you should, like, let's work on a way to be happier together and content.
Yeah.
So we're not seeking that through food or whatever, like whatever, you know, whatever changes. Right. But overall, if you stay, and it's kind of what we talked about last time, if you stay within the boundaries of what we've set up in our relationship overall, and I'm not saying you've got 10 pounds, babe, you go over that 10 pounds and you're going to be getting divorce papers. Like, no, but if you're living the life that we have set up and you're 30 pounds bigger, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I like you chunky. I like you skinny. I love you. And I wish women, and I think women are more guilty of this than men, is love yourself regardless of the way your body looks. It's just love yourself, you know, just like give yourself a freaking break. Who cares? It's just weight, you know, like get it off if it's going to make you move better or perform better or allow you to do more, or if it's a health risk or whatever, but don't do it to look like some chick on Instagram.
Right.
Because you don't know what she doesn't have going on in her life. It's all she's doing. This is her job.
Yeah.
It's not your job. I'd much rather you be a great mom than posting on IG all the time, although you're pretty damn funny.
Okay, back to the weight thing one more time. Mm-hmm. I think, too, another trap that women fall into is constantly feeling like you have to lose weight. So it's like, even if you're not you're not counting your calories, you're not measuring things, if you asked, I think, 90% of women, like, what are your goals right now? They'd be like, to lose 5 to 10 pounds.
Right.
Every single woman.
Every woman, but universally.
I believe that.
Just go around. Like, we could do a poll in our neighborhood. I promise you it's 5 to 15 pounds.
Everybody.
For sure.
But I think here's, like, something that's super unsexy to say. It's like living in maintenance is actually a really healthy approach to life.
Balance.
Yeah. And but yes. It's not sexy, right, to say that. It's like, I am just maintaining.
You know what? I'm just average as hell.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm good. I'm like, my weight's fine. I can do everything. I am just going to stay where I'm at. And then I think it allows you to, so when you're, you know, consuming 2,500 calories a day, you're active, you're moving, your body is of a healthy weight, you can eventually earn the right, you know, to diet down. Mm-hmm. But I think if you're constantly like, okay, this week I'm going to be so good and I'm going to go down to 1200 calories. And then the next week, fuck, I'm starving.
I am starving.
And now I'm binging. And now I've got this unhealthy relationship with food. And it's this constant, like, blah, da, da, you know, like a mm-hmm. roller coaster. I think if everyone just took a step back, like I said, get off the scale, 6 months of behavioral changes, you know, make good choices, get proper rest, do the things that you, we all know we should be doing. And then maybe after that 6 months, you're like, you know what? I'm actively going to try to lose weight. And maybe it's not going down to 1200. Maybe at this point now it's like, I'm going to go down to 2200 calories a day, right, which is still a good amount of food, but I'm creating that deficit, you know?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I completely, I love the remove the scale, find wins outside of the scale, outside of the data.
Yeah.
You know, we get, I think we're so, and you, you're kind of guilty of it. You love your Fitbit and you love tracking your active minutes and blah, 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 blah. It's like, I don't wear one of those damn things. I hate those things. I don't want to track my sleep. I'm not dependent on some, like the Whoop band. I was wearing the Whoop band for a little bit and then I just fucking wanted to smash that thing with a damn hammer because it was like, you've been in the red zone for 4 days. And I'm like, well, fuck you. You know what? And I feel fine. Like, how is this little band, by the way, which are incredibly inaccurate. They're incredibly inaccurate. They're way off. Like they've got a 30% accuracy rate, these things, on like how much sleep you have, what's your heart rate, how many steps have you taken. They're incredibly inaccurate. HRV, whatever. It's like the inaccuracy of them is wild. And here we are like building our lives around the Whoop band or some ring, right? It's like, how the hell can a ring tell me how I'm sleeping? Go get a sleep study done. They hook you up to an EKG. They hook you up to a brainwave monitor. They measure your eyeball movement. They give you a pulse oximeter. All those things to measure how you're sleeping and where you're at. Yet somehow in some magical wristband that costs $129.99, they're going to tell you how you slept. Get the fuck out of here. Like, that's not real. It's not real science.
No, but... Okay, before you insult everybody listening to this that uses a fitness tracker.
I'm just saying.
It's a nice little marker for yourself to be like, crap, I've only done 4,000 steps today. Okay. I need to get my body moving.
I got you.
It's not, man, I only slept 6 hours and 27 minutes last night. Today, awful performance.
But,
it's like,
but people get caught up like that, right? Like people are neurotic about what the data tells them and where they should go from there.
Yeah.
And I just... Anyway, that's probably a podcast for another time.
Totally.
So we're focusing on...
But yeah, the non-scale victories is what you were...
The non-scale victories is where it's at. Yeah. I love that. And I love putting it down for 6 months, taking care of the small things. What was the other one that you had? You had 3 gyms today.
Oh, thanks.
You're on fire. I'm going to have to go back and listen
to this
one.
The living at maintenance, I like. Like just, yeah. Living putting the scale down. Focus on your daily habits. And then also, and don't falling into the arrival syndrome. When I'm this weight, happiness will follow.
Right. And I do think that really ties into the last one is like, put the data down for a little bit and align your habits.
Yeah.
Because that's really going to bring you the happiness. And like living in the moment and being present and not being married to some number that you've arbitrarily come up with in your head because you probably didn't go like, get your body fat measured with a DEXA scan and see what your bone density is and how much fluid you're carrying and all these things. You didn't go do that before. So now you're like, you know what? I want to get to 120. It's like,
well, I think a lot of women too, like the first weight you can remember, whether it was in high school or college, that's the weight in your head that you're like, that's the weight, you know,
that makes
and that's
sense.
Before having kids and lives and marriage.
Holy
and
shit. Does things change like crazy.
Crazy.
When every year you get older, you know, and you, I realized this first when we were in the NFL and we were doing the body caliper pinchers and every year my numbers would about say the same thing, but my body fat was going up. I was like, well, what's that all about? I was like, I have the same numbers as him. Why am I fatter than him? And they're like, because they measure internally, they say you're carrying more fat as you age. Right. So things change. You are carrying more weight naturally as you age, you get I used to love this about like when I was playing is like you get denser, your muscle fills out. You're not like, I think as you're young, you get bigger and you're hollow. And then as you get older, it kind of fills in a little bit. And that's hard to get rid of. And you just have a natural set point. You've had 2 kids, you have 4 kids, you've got, you know, whatever. It's like, man, it's way hard. Your metabolism slows down the older you get. Like everything slows down. You don't move as much as you used to when you were young. Like, look at Teddy, the way he flops around on the couch when we're watching a show. He must burn 1,000 calories. If I did that, I would burn 1,000 calories an hour.
Yeah.
just the way that that kid flops around and fidgets and jumps and sprints around the couch at 7 p.m. And it's like, holy Christ, no wonder you can stay lean when you're a kid. And then you get older and your joints hurt and you don't feel as good. You go play a match of tennis and you got to sit in an ice bath for 42 minutes to like feel like anything close to recovered, right? So you think about that and it's like, well, no wonder I'm carrying more weight. It's just natural. Like you can't move as much as you used to. Otherwise you're going to break yourself down even faster and it hurts a little bit. And it's like, yeah, you want to move, you want to stay active, you want to do it. But at some point you have to just accept who you are and where you're at. And I just say, take a 10,000 foot view of yourself and go, okay, is this 5 pounds? Is this 10 pounds? Is this going to bother me when I'm 65? Is it going to bother me when I'm 75? Is it going to bother me when I'm 85? Probably not. Probably not.
Right.
You're probably not going to be comparing yourself to other 85-year-old women on Instagram.
Who knows? Maybe we will.
Like, damn, she's fine.
Yeah.
You girls are hilarious.
It could happen.
Well, thank you. Good job.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you guys got something out of that.
I do too. All right. I did.
Good.
I did. I think men can apply the same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's universal principles for sure.
It really is.
Yeah.
All right. Love you, babe.
Love you too. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.